that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has. And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And we're almost all here. John shot me a text that he'd be calling in here in just a couple minutes. So
I'm here now.
Oh, good morning, John. So we're all here. Good morning, John. Good morning. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, you, Remnant. We welcome you here this first day of February. It's the pre-Groundhog Day day. That's today, because tomorrow is Groundhog Day, and we know how important that is. And so we welcome you here, Remnant, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, being here with us. And we'll open up with prayer, and then I guess we can open the phone lines and comments, and we'll go from there. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to be here before the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to be here to continue on the ministry, to continue on the spreading of the true gospel of Jesus Christ and the true biblical plan of salvation to the true biblical people. Lord, we thank you for being able to continue that on that was started over 33 years ago by Pastor Peter J. Peters here, Lord, that with your help and with your guidance that built and grew this ministry. And Lord, our desire is to continue it on, to continue on, Father, marching onward and upward, forward into the battle, even though the battle is the Lord's. But Lord, we let us all be like David of old that yells that out as the sling starts to be swung, Lord. And as the stones that are in the pouch, Lord, and in the other pouch, Lord, let them be there as we continue on in getting your word out to your people, Lord. The matriarchal system doesn't like it. The world doesn't like it. So be it. Let our concern be, Lord, that you like it, that it's pleasing to you. And we know if we can put your word out, Lord, then if it is pleasing to you, that'll be good. And that's what we strive to do, Lord. We thank you for this time this morning, Father, this cold It's cold this winter here and all over, but it's your good weather in its season, and we thank you for that. We ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts and our words. Lord, let them be pleasing to you. Let them be edifying and strengthening to the remnant. Let it be an encouragement to them, Lord, to let them know that they are not alone when they sigh and groan at the abominations that are going on, when they see and hear the lies that are put out by the media. Let them know, Lord, that they're not alone, that the remnant is here, and we know you are here, Lord, wherever two or more are gathered. So we ask you to pull up a chair, pull up a cup of coffee, Lord, and join us this morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we ask for your blessings on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And it is pre-Groundhog Day, pre-Super Bowl Day. Lots going on. I think there's lots going on that's not being put out in the media, but that's usually how it is as well. Guys, I'll open it up down there for comments, questions. Where you want to go? We've got a couple prayer requests I thought we'd get through sometime this morning, but we'll send it down to Colorado to get started up.
I was just reading the other day that the U.S. cattle herd is the lowest number since 1951, based on natural disasters in this country, but more than anything on the drought. And apparently, California is still in that drought.
California is.
So that's pretty significant.
Yeah, the one thing I saw in one of our cattle papers that we get in here, John, is that the U.S. government is looking, seems like they're falling all over themselves to try to open up beef imports from South America and Brazil. And one big thing that, about the only thing that stopped it so far, is that South America and Brazil are, it's known that they have hoof and mouth disease down there in the cattle, and it's rampant. But, you know, when they export their cattle to China and eat it themselves and stuff, that's no big deal for them. But here, it's been all but eradicated, and that's one of the big things that it seems like a lot of the cattle people are complaining to the government about, is saying that, you know, you open up these imports, basically the cattle prices down there are about a fourth of what they are here, adjusting for the dollar and the difference in the monetary system and whatnot. And so they figured if they open up the U.S. cattle market to all the cattle from Brazil, that it would basically cut the cattle prices here in half. Now, they don't say that it'll cut the beef prices in the supermarket in half, but it'll cut the beef prices for the beef producers in half. And it's almost like the foreshadowings of a famine coming in seeing this with the small cattle herds and a lot of the land that the cattle used to roam on and the ranchers used to have as being some of the people can make more money if they can drill oil or get natural gas off of it or break it up into developments. And there's a lot of that goes on as well.
Yeah, plus they're stealing 1 million acres from Wyoming.
They're trying to. I haven't seen a follow-up on that. Have you seen any follow-up on that, Jason, the last week or two? Or
no, I haven't. On what exactly?
Oh, on the
on the 1 million acres they're trying to steal.
Yeah, the EPA,
Riverton, Wyoming.
The EPA giving
it hasn't really gone anywhere. It's just in limbo. They're fighting it. The governor of Wyoming, he's actually doing a pretty good job of fighting it. He's pretty fed up with the Obama administration and the EPA, and he's doing everything he can to fight it. But he says they're not enforcing it for sure. So
yeah,
we'll see. It's just saber rattling right now.
Richard, you sent me that cover of the Rolling Stone. Got Pope Francis on the front cover of the Rolling Stone. First time ever have a Pope on the front cover. And it says, "The times, they are a-changing." Old Bob Dylan lyrics. And yes, they are, to the Church of Laodicea.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Brother Jack up in, I think he's in Pennsylvania. He sent that to us yesterday, and he said, another thing about this guy, or something about, do I need to know anything else about this guy? And it's talking about the Pope on the cover of the Rolling Stone. And I said, yeah, no, sounds like a rock and roll song, huh? And, yeah. So.
But did you see the cover of Newsweek magazine?
No.
Hit the road, Barack.
Hit the road, Brock.
That's what it says. The cover.
Really?
The last cover before, it says, too little, too late, damage done. It will take a lot of funerals to recover from this. Not in my kid's lifetime, I'm afraid. Time to get ready for some serious bad stuff that's coming fast.
Some serious what?
Some serious bad stuff that's coming fast, and that's where it was supposedly some of the quotes from the magazine. But on the cover, it was him walking away, and the title was "Hit the Road, Barack: Why We Need a New President."
Yeah, about time.
They're throwing him under the bus, huh?
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. You know, it seems like Newsweek is they've kind of come against him before.
They have.
Like they're not toeing the line in the past. You know, because you'll see the
probably be getting investigated by the IRS.
Probably.
Yeah, you've seen the Time covers with, you know, Barack with the little presidential ring, you know, that goes around the seal. Mm-hmm. Behind his head, like a halo, you know, like the Catholics will have a holy halo or something. You'll see that. But, man, oh, man, yeah, I think it's I think they're turning on one another. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, if you listen to I couldn't take it, but I listened to a little bit on the radio of the State of the Union, and basically he said, if Congress doesn't want to go along with my agenda, then I'll just push it through without their approval.
Without legislature,
he said. Well, that's what he's been heading towards. I mean, it's just working towards, and that's what really, if you look at everything that's been taking place, it's, you know, headed towards that is what they want, is a dictatorship. You know, and everything has gotten closer and closer to that, and it made extremely strong advances with him as president.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think others even tried before him, but because of the race factor, he's got away with it even way more than the others we even thought they could. You know, I mean, it was kind of a stepping stone with, you know, I remember Clinton trying to push all kinds of things through without it going through the Senate, but with Barack, it's, you know, you come against him and then you got the Oprah Winfreys and everybody, you know, calling you a racist right off the bat. You know, you could even be the same color as him. And they'll still call you the racist, you know what I mean? Because
you're an Uncle Tom if you're black.
That's true, you know, like, yeah. Bill Cosby, yeah. So
yeah, he came out, what was it, just about 3 weeks ago. I think it didn't have the effect that he thought, or that his advisors thought, but basically came out and said, well, you just, you know, I understand people just don't like me as president because I'm black. And just blatantly put that out there. Now, it's true to a certain extent, but, you know, he's gone way beyond not liking him because he's half black. You know, we don't like him because of the things that he does, you know, because he's an antichrist, because he, you know, he just like what he said. Well, it's by his own words, just like that you mentioned, John, and Jason did about what he said. You know, I have an agenda and I'm going to push it on this country without legislation, without law. I don't need law, he says, to do what I want to do to this country. I'm just going to do it. And, you know, we have always, as a people, prided ourselves of being a lawful people, you know. And that just thumbs his nose. Now, the people have removed themselves from being a lawful people. And so I think that's what, you know, that's why he can say that and just, for the most part, at least think he's getting away with it. But, you know, the people just stand up and give him a standing ovation at that. Yeah, push your agenda through. In the story of...
I was reading it.
Well, go ahead, John.
The other day, it looked like that the president's approval ratings in the 40% range, you know, but you can't really believe those polls. But then the congressional approval rating is like our disapproval rating is like in the 80s, 85% or something.
For Obama?
Well, for the Congress. Presidential, yeah, it's 60-40 supposedly, which I don't doubt it, because there's probably 40% that are on some sort of subsidy, government subsidy.
Yeah, they love
Thomas
that.
Jefferson said as soon as the people can vote money for themselves, it's over. And basically what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
hard to defeat Santa Claus if you think about it that way.
That's even how they promote you to vote.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Abomination,
yeah. Yeah, and that's third to fourth generation of that. You know, now the third generation are still getting that public assistance, but they're, you know, a generation or two ago, those people that have been brought up on that, you know, are now in their 50s and stuff, and you see them in Obama's cabinet.
Yeah.
You see them that they're being appointed to these places, and it is. It's just what we deserve as a people, you know. And sometimes when you people will complain about Obama and all this, and sometimes that'll take them back, you know. Well, what do you mean? It's just what we deserve. Well, it is, you know, because we've, as a Christian nation, as a once Christian nation, turning away from God and wanting to be like all the other peoples, all the other nations have these type of abomination leaders. Look at the European nations. You know, talk about being invaded. Talk about being utterly on the brink of destruction. Places like Norway and Sweden and England and France, you know, we talk about our immigration numbers here, and percentage-wise, they're 10 times as bad over there. They have been invaded mainly by the Muslim hordes. They truly have. And the socialist antichrist that have taken over the countries, the European nations are all but gone. And you see it all in the African nations that used to export food, especially South Africa, would export food and was one of the most beautiful places on earth, but that was under evil white rule. Mm-hmm. And now that the apartheid is over, they're back to hacking each other to death with machetes. And so while that's going on there, it is this whole worldwide deck of cards is falling apart. I still like what Jason came out with the Newsweek about how they're it seems like they're turning on each other, you know, more and more.
Well, they are, but it's you know, at the same time, is like you look at, you know, they take them polls and Obama's approval rating in certain areas is down 30%. Well, you know, the media doesn't jump on that or doesn't use that at all, and it really, you know, when it boils down to it, it shows you that, you know, that there's certain people on certain sides, and, you know, the people that are on this one world agenda with one leader dictatorship, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with if it's the right dictator, but when you're talking about the society that we're living in, I mean, it goes to show you that, you know, they have went for positions of power too. I mean, they own newspapers, they own radio stations, they own television stations, they own the media. And you know, anything that they decide they don't want to put out there, they don't put out there. You know, and one of the ways that they can do, you know, that they're they control what people hear, and they control a collective consciousness of the people by controlling the media, by putting out there what they believe is common, because our people are like sheep. They don't want to stick up. They don't want to be different, and you know. So they put out what the masses believe, whether it's what the masses believe or not. And
yeah, and you can go back 2,000 years and read the words in red, and Jesus is saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." I mean, I don't think of 2,000 years ago of them having newspapers on the corners or whatever media they had, but obviously they were putting it out. You know, they were as much on the evil side as the Pharisees were, you know, and it's the same today. You know, they gotta have their promoters, I guess, their spreaders, you know. But you're right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and we got a lot of modern-day scribes.
Yeah. They do what they're supposed to do.
Protocols of learned elders of Zion. Yeah. They about got them all.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, it's not all bad news. It's actually good news. Because when we see them doing this, we know that, you know, they think they have it wrapped up. They think that that they've got all the bases covered, you know, from the absolute army that's going to be so-called protecting the Super Bowl. I saw some things this week. They've got the New Jersey Air National Guard flying around with their Thunderbirds or whatever they are loaded with everything they got in case there's an aerial threat. You know,
they got Blackhawks on call and F-16s on call.
Yeah, they've got. You can't even walk to the Super Bowl. Talked about that a little bit Thursday night. So if you're in New Jersey, anywhere, and you want to go to the Super Bowl, you either take the New Jersey Transit that goes to the stadium, or you take the $51 NFL shuttle bus that comes from everywhere for $51. But you can't walk to the Super Bowl. You can't take a taxi to the Super Bowl. You can't have somebody drop you off, just drive you up and drop you off. Like, you can do that at an airport, right? We do that when we fly out. Somebody drops you off. Nope. You know? But they'll stand up and sing that Star Spangled Banner there, won't they? You know, and, oh, land of the free and home of the brave. And when that Super Bowl starts. And so, you know, but our enemies think that they have it all. That they have it all wrapped up, you know. And
I heard the other day from a buddy that said basically New York has passed these laws that if you're in their state for one day and make any money, you have to pay New York taxes on it. So, given that fact, the players and whatever venues that go on there, but mostly the players. They said that the losing team would actually lose money once they pay all the taxes that they have to pay in New York versus, you know, the winning team obviously gets more money. But in New York, they charge you by the day for taxes if you're from out of state.
Wow.
That's not Babylon or nothing.
No. No. Well, guys, it's a little early, but the phone's ringing, so... What do you say we go to the phone lines, and we'll come right back to you. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. It's Willis over in Southern Illinois. How are you fellas doing this morning?
Doing good, Willis.
How are you, Willis?
I'm doing great. Hey, I want to thank you, John, for that Geneva Bible that was sent. That's going to be another arrow in the quiver. Listen to the show this morning, drinking some coffee. I was wondering if anybody heard anything about that outdoor fiasco that the Pope put on there. I think it was last week. He supposedly released two white doves into the air, and a raven and a seagull came down and attacked the doves.
Right.
I was wondering if you guys heard about that.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at that this morning. It was pretty amazing, really. I mean, while he's trying to give his holy address, those birds were just attacking those two doves and disrupting the whole thing. And
That's got to be a sign from above. You know, right. This whole thing with the presidential polls and the approval and the disapproval and all that, you know, the more those approval ratings go down, it just seems to me the more of a dictatorship that we actually do have. And his executive orders, you know, the presidents have been doing that forever. If they right. can't get something passed, they just sign it into law. Just wanted to say this good morning.
This one's more bold and brazen, though, than any of the past ones.
Yeah, it seems like... Each one just gets a little bolder, and they pass more of these dictatorial laws, and, you know, we never find out what they are until years later sometimes. I think they pass all those laws, and they get them on the table, and then later on, whenever they're ready to, they just initiate them. You know, Clinton did it, Bush did it, they've all done it. One just a little worse than
yeah,
the other.
What's interesting about Reagan, though, is when he was sworn in the first time, inaugurated the first time, he insisted on using his family Bible, and he had it open to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And a buddy of mine was just in California here a couple weeks ago and went to the Reagan Museum, and they have a hand-tooled leather Bible there from a Cowboy Christian Association, and that was his favorite Bible verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14.
You know, I remember when Reagan was elected, one of his first news interviews that he did, I forget which newscaster it was, but one of them asked him, he says, what were his plans to turn the economy around? And his statement was that he could do nothing to help the economy, that would be up to the Federal Reserve, who controls the money.
No, really.
He put that out, didn't he? Well, you know, at least he was speaking the truth.
Yeah, it was the truth.
Oh, yeah.
At least to them, that's the truth.
Yep.
And we got to remember, too, that 1983 was Public Law 97-280, you know, where both the House and the Senate declared that the Bible was the Word of God. And it was the year of the Bible.
And that's,
come a long way in 30 years, the wrong way.
Yep, and that's a big condemnation to the people who don't take that to heart.
Right.
But you guys have a great weekend. I appreciate the show, and we'll be looking forward to hearing a live broadcast tomorrow morning.
All right, Willis. Thank you.
Goodbye.
307-745-5913 if you want to call in and if you have a comment. I think one thing we have to look forward to is, as it says in Judges, in the days of Gideon, and it's starting in verse 19, but it's under confusion of the enemy. And if you look down in Gideon 7, verse 22, it says, when they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army. And this was the huge army of the Midianites. And Gideon and his 300 did just that, blew the trumpets, and then basically the Midianites destroyed themselves, turned on one another, and I think we're going to see that again. I think that they have their plans, they have their drones, and they have their NSA text spying and listening in on all the public media and and our social media and phone calls and geo tracking and all that good stuff, and I think it's just going to turn right back on them and destroy them when they think they're going to destroy us.
Yeah, I had the opportunity last night. I was talking with a Judeo-Christian pastor, which is, you know, that's always fun. But anyways, he was saying, well, I can't believe what's going on. Can you believe that the attacks against God? And he said, did you hear what happened at the Grammys? And he didn't really know really what happened, but we got to talking about it. And I said, well, what do you expect? You know, what does the Bible say? In the last days, the terrors will become bold and brazen. You know, they're sticking their heads up. And we got to talking about that, and I was looking a little deeper into that, and apparently Nicki Minaj, I don't know what she is, but anyways, she showed up with a character, a white older man dressed like the Pope, and she was in a red caped outfit with some sort of Luciferian creature thing on the front of her dress. So, yeah, you got to expect that a Luciferian gathering is...
You sure it wasn't the Pope?
Without the Pope attending.
Yeah, you sure? Yeah,
I don't know. It didn't look like him.
Yeah. Where was the Pope on that night? That's what I'd like to know.
Where was the outrage from the Catholic Church? There was none.
No.
Of course not. Yeah. Well, the modern...
They are changing.
The modern verses for Second Chronicles 7:14, I was reading them yesterday, is basically Luke 13:1-5, where it says, "Now on the same occasion there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem?" And Jesus again says, "I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You know, and that brings to mind, when I read that every time now, after last year, Richard, remember when those 18 firemen?
19.
You know, was it 19? Yes. Okay. When I read this, I think of them, because were they worse men than anybody else in the United States?
No.
No, but what that was a warning. Just like back here in 2,000 years ago when the Tower of Siloam fell and killed 18, it was a warning that unless we repent, we will likewise perish, you know. Amen. And I think that's where the 300 come in, because they're going to be the repentant ones. It's not that they're just going to be the strongest soldiers. They're going to be the ones closest to God, and God is going to be on their side, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's just... It is Second Chronicles 7:14. Just put
that. My final statement to him was, "Hey, if you ask me, it's Second Chronicles 7:14 or bust."
Yeah.
We got to get a national repentance, or
you know, and I'm surprised. That's one of the popular verses out. I mean, not like John 3:16, but you know, you go to Estes Park or you go to some of these Christian, but you'll see signs that say Second Chronicles 7:14, you know, and it makes me wonder if they know what it means, but it's still out there.
Well,
you know?
I think that the remnant, yeah. You know, and you know, the remnant of the remnant are sensing the times that we're in and are doing what they can to put that warning out, to say, yeah, this is the answer. Now, whether you want to see it or not, this is the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, right where you read there.
But on the other, hand, these Judean Christians and those people who claim to be, you know their Bibles, I would say 80% of them, when I say that, they're like, "Oh yeah, which one is that again?" You know,
right?
It's like, seriously?
Oh sure, yeah. They don't know it. They don't.
Well, very few actually try to memorize Scripture, and I don't think, you know, I really don't think that you can do an adequate job of memorizing Scripture and seeing the truths in the Bible until you have been properly baptized and you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's like having the glasses that they gave you in the movie They Live. Is really just because then you can see. Then you can see, unlike your Judeo-Christian pastor friend, you know, like he said, why is all this going on? Can you believe it, John? All this, you know, death and destruction and war. I just, why? Because you don't have the glasses to see. You don't have the eyes to see until, and here we go. Yep, going to be like the pastor here. Talk about baptism, because that's when you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift, one of the gifts is that it shows you these things. And when you purposefully stay out of it, when you purposefully say, no, I heard something on the radio the other day, flipping through the dial and driving down to the church, you know, a pastor, oh, baptism, you know, and all these people, oh, you know, I've received the Holy Spirit and got God and all that. Oh, were you baptized? No. Oh, were you know, and he was mocking baptism, this dirty bird pastor on Grace FM or whatever it was, and he's mocking baptism. And, you know, on the day of judgment, we'll see. But because there's so many out there that don't see, there's so many that they don't know what Second Chronicles 7:14 says. They don't know what, you know, Luke, they don't believe Luke 13:23 when it says, "Someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And Jesus said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." That's the foolish virgins. They're going to seek. They're going to try to enter. And the door's locked. They're going to be rattling that doorknob, and it's locked. And the deadbolt is thrown, and the chain's on the door, and they're not able to enter. And it's because they don't have those eyes to see. They don't have that oil of understanding. Right. Well, phone's ringing again. Let's go back to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Wranglers, Timmy. Old Ronnie Reagan fooled a lot of the Judeo-Christians and pro-life phonies, and he was elected 10 years after he legalized murder in California, and some 14 years after he almost banned guns in California. But the only conservative thing that old Ronnie did was privatize Conrail. The man was a closet red all his life. He was just sandwiched between the two Browns, and he was as probably more socialist than either one of them. And he almost carried out the old communist playbook in California. Ronnie was a nice guy, but a conservative he wasn't. And all these Judeo-Christians have been warned by real Christians and real conservatives. You know, patriot groups like Liberty Lobby and the John Birch Society, they've been warned of these dangers. And they, more than any liberal or leftist, scoff at the warnings. Now that Judeo-Christian pastor is so shocked at what he sees. He's been told that. You know, they know. They've been told the truth. They just choose to scoff at it. They like putting those Bible verse signs out in their front yards, but they don't want to cast all their Marxist gods down like warmongering, the military, public school, or Social Security, or welfare. They just don't want to come clean of Babylon. They want to be Christians, but they want to have this, you know, contaminated socialist cake too. They're very double-minded and unstable. So few, scant few are going to be saved out of it. That's it, brothers.
You're right on that, Tim. There's, you know, they have those high places. We kind of touched on those Thursday night a bit, and those are going to be some of the themes for this year's Branson gathering, is tearing down the high places. And Tim mentioned several of those high places, you know, false gods that we've had that have come and gone that people still worship. And many of those other things, you know, the Social Security system and the government handout system that so many, and it's a lot of our people that look to that, that depend on that, that don't want any other way. They want that system.
And the 501c3, I mean, basically, that's a big one. Yep.
That's a huge one. It really is.
Yeah. You know, in my book, you got two choices educating your children. You either go to a real Christian school or you homeschool. And I would say even homeschool is probably the first choice of those two, as long as you follow through and you do it. And then there's a council here of the churches, local churches in this county or whatever, and some of the men who believe in Christian education tried to schedule on their board meeting on the docket to talk about Christian education and how we can promote it. And they wouldn't even schedule it. They wouldn't even give them the time of day. And these churches, even some of them who send the pastors who send their children to Christian school, they won't even let you present it in front of their congregation. Now, a couple theories on that is, one, there's prominent people who are in the public school system that go to that church. The other is, well, there's actually three. It does have to do with the 501c3. I think they can't do it. And the third is when they, some believe that their tithes and offerings and things like that can be used towards Christian education as well as towards the church. And I think they're afraid that if these people do go to a Christian education, then they'll take the money that they're given to the church and start splitting it with their Christian education. So that's just my thoughts.
Sounds to me like sacrificing children before Moloch. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We might lose money, so we don't want to tell people the truth. You know?
Yep.
Now, that's the difference between a shepherd and a hired hand. I think the Bible defines that it's the false shepherd, the hired hand. He don't care about the sheep. And I think you just described that to a T. And
I wrote an article on that in the newsletter one time.
Yeah, the they may get a lot. It seems like they get away with it now. But they're just storing up wrath and destruction, more so than anything else. They truly are. Well, Jason, we're going to all take a cup of coffee and turn it over to you for a few minutes here. You've just been, hope you hadn't fallen asleep out there yet.
Oh, I was thinking about it.
Jason, I got to ask you earlier about that, the absolute mess that's still going over in Japan and Fukushima. You got any comments or warnings to the people regarding that?
No, I mean, it's, basically what's going on over there from what I've been able to hear is that, they got this, this reactor that they're basically pumping water out of the ocean onto it to cool it. And then the water's flowing back into the ocean. So
that's
you've got, what's that?
That's a good plan.
Yeah. But that's what, not saying we know what the EPA is and know what they do and everything, but, basically that's what they're doing. And, there's thousands and thousands of people that are sick over there because of it. But, that's what they either say that they got to keep it cool or it's going to explode and then it's going to cause a real problem. So, that's what they're doing. And, I think that right now you're just in that waiting game. We still have not seen what's going to come of that whole deal. And I think we'll be seeing stuff years down the road because of it.
Are there still reports of dead fish and that kind of thing going on? Anybody heard?
Yeah, they say that there's hundreds of miles around there that everything's dead.
Yeah, and that's probably
everything from
spread
plant life to fish to any marine activity.
Hmm. Yeah, you
be careful of the fish you eat.
Yeah, definitely.
Brother Jimmy sent something out the other day that made a lot of sense, but that there's tilapia that's saying it's processed in Alabama or something, but if you read the fine print, it's farm-raised in China. And according to some of the stuff I looked into, basically they take the feces, human feces, and feed it to the fish in those so-called fish farms. So
fish farms.
They're trying to kill us one way or another. Between the GMOs and the Chinese food products and importing cattle, and boy, you better be praying.
Amen.
Everything you eat.
Amen. Eat local, eat fresh. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Wranglers. Tom in Texas.
Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
I heard y'all talking about the 501c3, and I've had a conversation with a local Judeo-Christian lady that I get milk from her and everything, and she's tried to talk to me into going to her church, and I would say, we'll talk about stuff, and I was able to, what's your preacher say about what's going on with the government and whatnot? Oh, he don't talk about that. That we can't discuss that because of our tax exemption. And I was like, well, did not Jesus say, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's? You know, if you're going to give to Caesar anything, you should do, okay, just like the context there, give the Caesar his money. You don't give him his homage, because if you're giving Caesar his homage your preacher is editing what he is talking about in the pulpit, he's giving way too much to Caesar. He's giving nothing to God.
Yeah, he's serving who he fears, and he's fearing they'll take the money away.
I was like, do you really want me to go to your church? And I'd ask her that. She'd be asking me, come to church tonight, come to church today. No, I follow this church, my own church, actually. And I was like, and I tell her that, if I go to that church, I'm going to rip into it. Because I won't be able to sit there and be quiet. I'm not going to sit and I'm going to... go up one side of your preacher and down the other, if that's how, you know, politically correct he is. And she doesn't ask me to go to church no more.
Yeah, well, hopefully that's getting the people to think about those things and not just blindly accept them.
I mean, and they're Johnny come lately on everything, foolish virgin sense there. That, you know, there's stuff that we've went over, you know, years ago as far as what the government's doing, and now they're just coming to, you know, looking at seeing the tip of the iceberg on all this stuff, and like, man, that is just so infantile. There definitely is a difference between the baptized and the dry cleaned or whatever, the dunked or the outward sign of an inward grace, if anything.
Yeah.
As far as mentality.
Those 501c3 churches are about to get their challenge, too, because, you know, it's coming down where if you're going to be a 501c3 church, you will perform gay marriage, and they're going to have to take a stand, whether they're going to bow their knee to Baal or...
I've asked you that one time, and I was like that is nothing more than a gag law. You know, I was like, what are you going to do when the church, now that they legalize queer marriages and they say you have to marry them? What's your pastor going to do then? You know, this, you get the whole deer in the headlights look from them, and it's... thank God for Pastor Peters, as a, you know, otherwise me and, well, all of us would be a part of the insanity that we only witness to.
Good point.
Amen. I never really realized in the beginning, you know, how he took a stand against that 501c3 and how it, I mean, he had quite a fight there when they seized the church and all that, but the bottom line was he would not put the state as the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And when you tell people that, especially pastors, they're like, huh, I never thought of that, you know? Yeah, well, when you put the state as the head of the church, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, they're taught in seminary. They have their business classes in seminary on, you know, this is the guidelines you have under the 501c3. This is how they'll, you know, the church will provide you a home, and that's tax exempt, and the church will provide, you know, a vehicle and all this. They have their business classes because it's a business. It's a business because they are, for the most part, hired hands, and they have to, you know, or they choose to follow, you know, those guidelines.
Yeah, me thinks they give too much to Caesar.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tom, thanks for the call. We'll try to get this other caller on before we run out of time.
You God bless you.
Have a blessed weekend, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
And we'll try this caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning. It's Joe calling.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Good morning to you all. Fine morning here in the east. Sun shining and stuff. It's supposed to be cloudy, and we're heading probably in the next couple days up to the 40s. Everything's going up, and then it comes down again. But
you on your way to the Super Bowl?
I'm sorry.
Just kidding, Joe. Are you on your way to the Super Bowl?
Oh, anything about that, please? Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
By the way. I didn't look that up. I don't follow football or anything. But in New Jersey, are they playing at the Meadowlands?
They're playing at the MetLife Stadium in Rutherford. I think it's where they're
New Jersey,
is.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. At the MetLife Stadium, I think it's East Rutherford.
Okay. Well, I don't know how developed that area is, but when I was a kid, that whole area, East Rutherford and Secaucus, used to be nothing but pig farms. And that's why they originally called those complexes of stadiums and arenas the Meadowlands arenas, or the Meadowlands complex. And then they changed it to the Burn Arena. Now probably some Japanese bank owns it, and they call it the Sukiyaki Arena or something. I don't know. But that place was nothing but open area when I was a kid. We used to drive through there. We used to call it the Meadowlands. You know, they raised hogs out there, acres and acres of nothing but hog farm. You were talking about tears a couple minutes ago, so I got a bunch of notes on certain things, and I came across the Strong's Concordance of the definition of tears, and it's 2215, and it's it basically says darnel. So I did a little bit of a etymology thing on that, the meaning of the word and everything. It's basically false wheat. And if you look at the word darnel, and you take the accent and you put it on the E-L at the end, because it's the second syllable, it's basically cursing God, if you know what I'm saying. Darn is a, D-A-R-N is kind of a euphemism for when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you know, you go, darn.
Oh, darn.
Those are a long time ago, Joe, when that was the euphemism.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's much different these days.
Yeah, and then you have the second syllable, which is L, and you know that means you know that's part of Elohim, the word Elohim. Even looking online, you see, they say I never understood wheat because coming from the east, I never saw wheat fields, but. Those wheat fields are very touchy. They have to be the wheat when it's just ripe. It has to be harvested just in a certain span of time. Otherwise, it threatens to bend over and just rot. And it says that the heads of the wheat plants bend over, whereas the tares actually stand straight up, and the seed actually spreads out, and it gets all kinky and fuzzy, and turns black.
The tares?
Yeah, the seed heads on the tare plant. That is, I'm reading it right here. That's what it said.
So, yeah, imagine that, and. So science today proves out the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from over 2,000 years ago when he warned and told the parable of the tares and the wheat, you know. And it is, and you know, that time draws nearer every day because we see those tares doing that very same thing, standing up straight and tall and proud and wanting to be recognized by everyone for what they are and for what they stand for, you know. And what are the wheat doing? You know, the wheat are having more and more poured upon them to where they are having to bend over. I don't think for the most part, the wheat doesn't want to bend over and bend down and like I had pictured it in the past of bending down and acknowledging God and coming to him on bended knee. That's not how the majority of the wheat is. I think it's the burdens of this time and the burdens that are put on the wheat by the tares that are causing them. Making them bend down
Amen.
And come before God that way.
Okay.
Joe, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joe.
You guys have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Right, you too, Joe.
Well, got about 5 minutes left, guys.
Good to see our people are looking a little deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. Well, I think it says...
Old Tom comes up with some good stuff there in Texas.
Oh yeah, he has time to research and he does quite a bit.
He writes you an email. He writes you a sermon.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. You get a 3-page email with links and everything from him. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, before we run out of time, we are going to invite you to church tomorrow. If you want to join us at church, come on to the website scriptures4america.org. Tomorrow, Sunday morning, Groundhog Day. Super Bowl day. Come to church with us. 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. And if you can't drive to La Porte, Colorado, you can just go to the internet, go to the website, scriptures4america.org. On the top left, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, you can click on the live video stream and join us for a review of the news and a welcome by John. And we'll have Paul, Shannon, and I'll have some music for us, and we'll have a communion service and then a Holy Spirit inspired message, probably by Pastor Peters. We had Pastor Jones brought a message not too long ago, an older archive. And Kyle brought a message not too long ago, back in the late fall, early winter, and Chris was out a couple weeks ago and brought a message as well. And so you just never know what you're going to get.
Last week,
that's right, last week at the LaPorte Church.
Six days sometimes seems like a couple weeks.
It does. It's been a long week. And so.
Well, we're already through January. How's that possible?
Wow. That's right. And so we do. We invite you to come out to church with us, and you know, we do our best to do that so that you can have fellowship, not forsake the assembly, and then, of course, we also record that entire program, and we send out hundreds of DVD churches on Monday morning, mail them out to many of the remnant, and to many that take it and put it on their local public access, public television stations, and we don't talk about that a whole lot, but we do have that available, and so if you want to be involved in getting the Sunday church broadcasts, from the LaPorte Church of Christ out in your community. Because if you support us, if you join us there and you're part of the body, then it is your church. And most public access stations will let you get your church broadcast out in your area. So if you're interested in that, you can contact us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And our email here at the office is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And we'll let you know how to get the program on your local public access. Well, John, why don't you close us out? I don't know if you have a scripture or a word for the people, and we'll. We'll call this a wrap. It's I don't know where this hour went, but it is all but gone this morning on Coffee
with the Wrangler. You had some prayer requests. You want to hit those real quick?
Yeah, we did. Jack had sent a note in and said he just needed some prayers, that some things he's done in the past. He's a baptized believer now, but was hoping some things that he had done in the past wouldn't prevent him from getting a new job. And he said, pray that
the
Lord
that's a done deal,
works behind the scenes.
White as snow if he's been
that's
baptized.
Right. That's right. And so we could sure do that. Well, Heavenly Father, you know Jack, Lord, and we just ask that you would guide and direct him, Lord. He's a new 2 or 3 year old Christian, and been baptized that long, Father. And we pray that you would guide and direct him, Lord, that you would give him a peace. Lord, he's confessed his sins on these anger issues, Lord. He desires to be angry and sin not. And so we pray you would let him do that, Lord, that you would let him see where he's to be angry, Lord, and where he's to control that anger, and that you would guide and direct him in that, Lord, and let your blessings be upon him in this new job that he seeks. And Lord, let him find favor in the employer's eyes, and let it be a blessing to him, and Lord, a blessing to you and your people as well. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, see you at church tomorrow morning.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
This country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Keep moving, moving, moving.
though they're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake Hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.